Last Lord's Day evening, I was speaking about evangelism and the Holy Spirit. And this evening, I want to speak also about evangelism and something else. Tonight, I want to speak about evangelism and election. We have an election coming up in a few days' time. The council elections are coming, and it may well be that there will be a European election coming along a few weeks later as well. But the scriptures speak to us about a different kind of election. And God's word tells us about a choice that God has made. It's God's choice. And the Bible teaches us how before the world was made, God chose in advance all of those who would receive eternal life. And those whom God chose to receive eternal life, they were not chosen because of any merit they had. They didn't even exist at the time. It was an unconditional choice. And some people struggle to see how that teaching of the Bible can be true. And at the same time, the Bible can teach that it's necessary for the gospel to be proclaimed, that the gospel should go out to the ends of the earth, that there is a duty that Christians have to tell others the good news of the Lord Jesus. And some would argue that if it really is the case that God has chosen to save someone, well, then that person will be saved without us doing anything about it at all. Well, I want to speak this evening about evangelism and election. I want to consider the connection that there is between evangelism, the spread of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the biblical doctrine of election, that God chooses in advance those who will be saved. And the first thing I want to say is that there is no conflict between these two biblical teachings. And then I want to go on to look at three ways in which believing in election is a help in the work of evangelism. But first of all, I want to say that there is no conflict between evangelism and election. There is no conflict. There is no dispute. There is no tension. They are not rivals. They are friends. They are co-workers. The Apostle Paul had no problem believing these two things. Paul clearly believes and teaches that God has chosen in advance those who are to be saved. But the Apostle Paul is also clearly a man passionately committed to the spread of the gospel. He is an out-and-out missionary. He believes in these two things. He believes that God has chosen those who are going to be saved, and he gives himself to the work of the gospel. In Paul, we see someone where belief in election and belief in evangelism go hand in hand. They exist in harmony. There is no conflict between those two things. Paul believed that all those that God had chosen from before the foundation of the world, all that God had chosen to be saved, he believed that they would be saved. But he didn't believe they'd be saved without the hearing of the gospel. What he believed was that God did not merely choose who was going to be saved, but he also planned how that person would be saved, and they would be saved through hearing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would be saved because of what Christ did for them. They would then hear the good news of what Christ had done for them, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, they would believe that these things really were true. And so Paul writes in Romans 10, How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Paul believed that it was necessary for people to hear in order that they would believe. But he believed they would believe because God had chosen them unto salvation. So in the scriptures we see that God chooses the means as well as the end. He doesn't save people apart from the hearing of the gospel. All of those that God has chosen to be saved, they will have to hear the gospel in order that they will believe. So here are two things that go hand in hand. Two things that are not in conflict. Two things that sit together. In the Northern Ireland of 2019, let me give you a parallel. Evangelism and election go together like ATMs and JCBs. Where you have one, you'll soon have the other. Election, belief in election, and belief in evangelism, they go together. There is no conflict. Now, I want to speak then about three ways in which believing that God has chosen those who will be saved, but not knowing who they are, that believing that God has chosen those people, how that is a help in our efforts to spread the gospel. And the first of these three things is that believing in election gives us hope. If it were not for the fact that we know that God has chosen to save a vast number of people from all different nations of the earth, then the work of spreading the gospel could be a very hopeless and discouraging task. This is how one writer puts this point, James Packer. He writes, "Regarded as a human enterprise, evangelism is a hopeless task. It cannot, in principle, produce the desired effect. We can preach and preach clearly and fluently and attractively. We can talk to individuals in the most pointed and challenging way. We can organize special services and distribute tracts and put up posters and flood the country with publicity. And there is not the slightest prospect that all this outlay of effort will bring a single soul home to God. Unless there is some other factor in the situation, over and above our own endeavors, all evangelistic action is foredoomed to failure. This is the fact, the brute, rock-bottom fact that we have to face." And this is pointing out that in and of ourselves, we do not have what it takes to convert anyone. But we believe that nonetheless, God has decreed that people will be converted. We know that God, the Holy Spirit, does work, and He can do what we can't do. He can raise people from spiritual death, and He can cause the words that people hear to become alive unto them and living in their souls. We know that God's word will not return to Him without accomplishing God's desired effect. And whenever we know that it is God who converts people, then we know also that God is able to bring about the conversion of even the hardest of unbelievers. We will not write people off as those who are never likely to be saved. We will have hope and we will have confidence that if God has chosen to save that person, it doesn't matter how great an unbeliever they might seem to be at present. It doesn't matter how uninterested they might seem to be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how hardened they might seem to be in their unbelief. God is greater than all of that. And God is able to deal with all of that. Unbelief can be a very dispiriting thing. We see in great indifference to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can be tempted to wonder, is anybody ever going to believe? But if we believe in the scriptural doctrine of election, we know that there's a vast multitude of people throughout the earth that are going to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And believing in election gives us hope in evangelism. We don't know who the people are that God has chosen to save. But we know that those that he has chosen to save, they will, at some stage in life, hear the gospel, and at some stage, they will respond to that gospel of Jesus Christ. So believing in election gives us hope in evangelism. The second benefit to believing in election is that believing in election helps us be patient and persevere. It helps us to be patient and to persevere. And we have a great example of that in the scriptures in Acts chapter 18. At that time, the Apostle Paul was based in the great city of Corinth, a city that was full of sin, full of sinners, full of people who were committed to all sorts of evil lifestyles and false gods. And yet the gospel had been proclaimed there, and some people had been saved. And one night the Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul in a vision, and he told him not to be afraid. He told him that he was to keep on speaking, because the Lord said, I have many people in this city. And Paul had been already preaching in Corinth for a while, and he had seen some people believe, and he had seen other people oppose him and his message. But here the Lord assured him that the work of salvation among the Corinthians wasn't yet complete, that it wasn't time for Paul to conclude that since he has already preached the message and people have heard the message, that everyone has already made their mind up as to where they stand and where they're going to stand. It wasn't the case that all who were going to believe had already believed. God says to Paul, I have many people in this city. And that meant that there were many that God had chosen to save, and they had not yet been saved. And so Paul was to keep on speaking. He was to keep on. He wasn't to give up. He wasn't to conclude, it's time to go somewhere else. There were still many that the Lord was going to save. And either those people had not yet heard the gospel, or they had heard it and they hadn't yet believed. And when Paul received this encouragement from the Lord, we're told that he stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. And believing that God had chosen people to be saved enabled Paul to be patient. It enabled him to press on even when it seemed as if the well had dried up and nothing new was happening. And often we need to come to the same conclusion. God's timetable does not correspond to our desired timetable. Often God is not in such a hurry as we are. Very seldom, very, very seldom, does someone believe the message of the Christian gospel the first time they hear that message. Usually they have to hear it many times. Usually they have to hear it from many different people. Usually they have to see it lived out in the lives of various Christians. That's God's normal way of working. People don't normally just suddenly believe this new message that they've never really heard or thought about in their lives before. James Packer writes that the idea that a single evangelistic sermon or a single serious conversation ought to suffice for the conversion of anyone who is ever going to be converted, he says, that is really silly. And yet we can think that way. And we can think that because at a particular time or by a particular stage someone hasn't yet believed, we can come to the conclusion that they just aren't going to. And sometimes a person is invited along to a meeting that others believe will be a really significant meeting in their life, and it doesn't seem to make any difference at all. And people can lose heart. Person goes away unconverted, and people can foolishly think that that means that they're never going to be converted. But surely that wasn't the way God worked in the lives of many of us. Surely for many of us, we heard the gospel many times before we were really at the stage where we knew that we had embraced this message. And that it wasn't just something that we knew and understood, but it was a part of us. For some of us, it was years. Years and years and years of hearing the same kind of thing from different people and seeing the same thing lived out in the lives of different people and different families within Christ's church. And it wasn't the case that God was doing nothing all those years. It wasn't that there was one future day that changed everything. God was working away little by little, convincing us and breaking down our resistance and showing us evidence upon evidence upon evidence. And one day, the balance would be tipped and it would all come together. And on that day, we knew ourselves to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's often the way God works. We had a couple at church today, and as I looked down upon them, I thought, that lady's face is vaguely familiar. She didn't quite look right. I thought, have I seen that face before, or have I not seen that face before? Turned out I'd never seen her in my life before, and I was relieved that I hadn't forgotten somebody that I'd met 6 months ago. They were from America, and they were just here on a one off basis. Here today because where are we? My geography's gone. They were visiting the graveyard along the way, and they came here to the worship service. Now that doesn't happen very often, that people just come on a one off basis, but it would be very unusual if that happened and those people suddenly became Christians as a result of being here on one occasion. But God could bring those people to become followers of Jesus Christ through many other contacts that they might have in the course of their visit to Ireland or back home in the United States. Sometimes at ministers' conferences, I get speaking to Professor Robert McCollum, and I almost always come away encouraged. I got speaking to him at the Banner of Truth conference across the way, and he was telling me about a couple of people in Lisburn who had been converted during the last few years of his ministry. But I remember talking to him on another occasion about a man who came to the church in Lisburn. And He came regularly, didn't show any sign of really having embraced the gospel, but he just kept on coming. And he came for 7 years, and then he was converted. And God often does things like that. That man was chosen by the Lord from before the creation of the world for salvation. But God didn't work suddenly in his life. He worked slowly. But it was a genuine saving work of the Lord. So let us learn, as Paul needed to learn in the city of Corinth, not to build too much upon any one witness opportunity, any one meeting at which the gospel is presented, but let's persevere in the work. Let's be patient in the work of the gospel. God will do things, and God will do things at his pace. And it's our business to keep pace with what God is doing. It's not right to rush people on to something that they're not ready for. God will work in his way at his pace. It's not right to look for a harvest the day after the seed has been sown. You wouldn't do that. You'd think that was crazy. Go out and sow the seed one day. It's a nice sunny day. You go out the next day thinking, I wonder, will there be a harvest? Well, of course there won't be a harvest. And in the work of the gospel, it is a work of sowing. There's watering that needs to be done. There's growth that needs to take place. There's a lot that has to happen before the harvest ever comes. In the Old Testament, God made promises to Abraham. And Abraham had to wait for 25 years for the birth of Isaac, in whom all those promises were tied up. And in the new birth, we desire to see people born again of the Spirit of God. And God often keeps us waiting for that. But it doesn't mean that he's not working. We know that all of those that God has chosen to be saved, they will be saved. But we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know in advance who those people are. But at some stage in their lifetime, they will hear. And at some stage, they will believe. They will believe because God has so decreed. So believing in election encourages us to be patient, and it encourages us to persevere. And then the third benefit of believing in election is that believing in election leads us to pray. Since we know that we cannot save people ourselves, we are forced to cry out to God, asking him to do that saving work. We can't have confidence in our ability to accomplish anything, but we can have confidence in the Lord's ability to save. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus saves, and so we are to ask the Lord Jesus to do his work of saving sinners. The person who seeks to witness to others about Christ but doesn't pray about that is trusting in their own efforts, their own words to bring about the desired result, and that is wrong. But it's also wrong to expect to see results from the witnessing efforts of missionaries or of other Christians if we don't pray for the work that they're engaged in. Our missionaries can't convert people. We need to pray for our missionaries, that God will be pleased to use them and that the Lord will bring people to new life. And it is God's pattern and God's habit to withhold his blessings until people start to pray. And God often does that. He doesn't do it to make us think that it's our prayers that are the all-important thing, that it's our praying that really makes all the difference. That's not God's intention. And if we come to that conclusion, we've got it wrong. But God withholds his blessing until his people start to pray, simply that we will be those who are ready to acknowledge that this is the Lord's doing, that this has happened not because of us, not because of what we do, but because he is such a gracious and merciful saving God. We need to be constantly reminded in everything in life that we depend on God. And therefore, we always need to be praying that God will be doing his saving work among sinners. We need to pray for the people that we know who are not yet believers, that the Lord will work and that he will bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This week, I'll have quite a few things to do in terms of preparations to make for the work that Paul Wallace will be doing over the next couple of months. But in a sense, there's no more important work that I need to do in regard to that than the work of prayer. And we always need to be praying for the hand of God to be at work, praying that God will be at work, that he will be moving in people's hearts, that he will be stirring in those whom he has chosen to save, that there will be a work of sowing, there will be a work of watering, and there will be a work of reaping. To pray is something that ties in fully with believing in God's election of those who will be saved. God will not do great things among us if we are not a praying people. But if we are a praying people, then God will, in his time and in his way, answer those prayers. And God is a God who delights in answering our prayers beyond what we ask for, beyond our imagination, beyond what we ask or even think. So believing in God's choice of those who will be saved, this is something that is a help to us in the work of the gospel. There is no conflict between these two things. Believing in election gives us hope in the work of the gospel. Believing in election helps us to press on, to be patient and to persevere, and believing in election drives us to God in prayer, because we know that the hope all lies with him. Amen.